Well, the world is a dumpster fire, and nothing here makes sense. And you vacillate between crippling fear and constant self-defense. And nothing's right, and nothing's good, and you're paralyzed with grief. Don't kill yourself, just have a cup of coffee.
Welcome to Coffee Over Suicide, the dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. I'm your host, Chris Parker Howard. And today on the show, we've got filmmaker, writer, actor, director, interesting dude, Jimmy Custis. He's got a movie out on Amazon right now called Body Swap that you can check out. It's kind of an old school 80s style kind of comedy. And we'll get into that conversation in just a couple of minutes here. But we're going to do the thing that we always do up at the top, and we're going to check in with me and where I'm at and try to find some sort of a lesson. Because that's what we do at the top of the show all the time. I talk through a problem I'm having or a situation I'm feeling, and I try to impart some kind of a lesson, like this is an 80s cartoon. I'm afraid I don't have one right now. The reason for that is I am in the middle of one of the darker depressions that I've had in a while, and I've been trying to keep that secret from you and my family and my friends for as long as I've seen this coming, which has been for maybe a couple of months. I'm putting some weight back on. I'm not moving around as much. I laid in bed after my 6:30 alarm until about 8 o'clock today. And I'm able to do that, and I'm lucky that I'm able to stay in bed until 8 in the morning. But, man, things are hard right now. And I don't know why. I don't have any sort of reason for that. And you can tell by my appearance that I didn't really take the time to do anything about that either. But, you know, I'm of the mindset that it doesn't matter. I mean, so what? I didn't comb my hair today. So what? I'm alive. I'm here. I'm functioning. I'm a human being. I've got my coffee. I'm talking to you. I made some level of an effort to get myself up and moving and doing things. And here I am in the middle of a heavy, blanketed darkness, being completely transparent on a show that is supposed to be informative but entertaining. And is this entertaining? I don't think so. But unfortunately, this is where I'm at today. This is what I have to give. But I think that it's very important to give what you have to give. And I think that it matters to show up disheveled instead of not showing up at all. I think it matters that I get up and I'm rumpled and it's difficult and I move slowly rather than not moving at all. Because if I've learned anything from my time on this planet, and God, I hope I have, it's that this weighted darkness goes away. And I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or an hour from now or in fleeting moments that slip through the cracks. but it goes away. Reality is entirely subjective. And there are times when it's difficult for you to see through the reality that you're currently living in, because it's the only reality you're experiencing at the moment. But so what? Now what? Now who are you going to be? Now what are you going to do? The depression has punched you in the diaphragm and taken all the air out of your lungs. So what? Now what? What are we going to do? Let's lay here for a minute, but then let's get up. Let's feel these feelings, but then let's get up. That's where I'm at right now. Is it the seasons? Is it the weather? I know the fall weather is supposed to be, you know, something that everybody looks forward to. I got to be honest, I'm not entirely sure I'm one of those people. I've got enough darkness in me already. I don't know if I need cold weather getting into my aching old skateboarder bones. I don't know if I need that. I don't know if that works for me. I like the colors. See, there it is again, finding something positive in the darkness. There's always a balance, right? But what are you going to choose to focus on? What are you going to choose to do? Who are you going to choose to be? It's all choices. Just like I'm choosing to show up and talk to you about this, quite frankly, in a very terrifyingly honest way right now. But that's what I have for you this week. That's all I have. This is all I have to give. I wish that I had something more insightful and more amazing to offer you than this half level of pain that I've got at the moment. But this is what there is. And it's enough. It's enough to keep going. All right. Enough of this. Let's get into this conversation about a comedy movie with Jimmy Custis. Jimmy, hi.
Hello. Hi.
How you doing?
Happy to be on the podcast. It's nice.
Where am I talking to you from?
I'm in Tampa Bay, Florida right now. I moved there recently, and I've been running an Airbnb here. Just
nice.
Bought a place.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, that's good for you.
Yeah.
What's the weather like, though? Because you guys have been
hot-ish, but it's mostly been rain. It's not been too bad. It's just really hot. A lot of lizards.
Yeah.
Lizards in the garage. Lizards everywhere. So it's been fun, though. I like it. That's why I moved here.
Take me back even further. Tell me a little bit about where you come from.
So I was born in Louisville, Kentucky. I am an actor and writer and producer. And back when I was a kid, I did cartoons, drew cartoons, and I thought I'd always be a cartoonist, but I went into live-action filmmaking, and I enjoy that. And a little bit of the cartoonish ideas make their way in my screenplays sometimes. It's kind of larger than life. The movie I made was called Body Swap. It's on Tubi, Amazon, iTunes, whatever, Plex or whatever that is. It's like, I don't know, all these different Microsoft, whatever. Oh, Google and YouTube movies. You can buy it on there. So it's everywhere.
It's getting a really good response.
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, for comedy, when you go on IMDb, if you look up Clueless or 10 Things I Hate About You or Clerks or Black Dynamite, Step Brothers, they're all in like the 5, 6, 7. Comedy's always polarizing. It's not like, unless it's like Forrest Gump, it's always like in the mid-range instead of the high levels you'd see Godfather on IMDb. So I think it did well for a comedy. I'd like to do... I like the awards it won. It won some more awards at film festivals. I'd like to do better cinematography. I'm really proud of the cinematography, but we shot with like $1,000 camera, so that's always it would be cool to do like a bigger movie. Before we got on here, we were talking about a music video you're doing.
Well, that was with even less quality of equipment. This was Seat of My Pants, Running Gun, kind of the biggest thing I'd ever done. I've got a YouTube channel where I've done a bunch of silly things. You know, I had a video go viral once, and of course it's the video that I made that was hastily thrown together in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, 2 million views, just kind of up everywhere, and it's ridiculous.
The director Body Swap has a YouTube video where he's fallen down his chipped tooth with a nail file, and it is his most watched video, more than any movie he's been involved with.
So you never really can tell what's going to resonate with people.
Yeah.
So when did you first start getting into storytelling? Like you said, you drew little cartoons and stuff as a kid. Was that like...
Yeah, apparently my teacher said, like, she never saw kids draw in 3D, like the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
But I would always just look at what the picture was and draw that. So I just drew it from looking at the picture to the moving it. So, wasn't really big into tracing, so I could usually just copy what I saw in the cartoons. But I wasn't that – in art class, I never did too well because I was never good at formal art, just cartoons and stuff. I did draw them for my high school paper and did a little bit of online cartoons. And so I got away from creative stuff for a while and – during the recession, and then I came back to it of a creative outlet in this movie I made.
Why'd you go away from the creative outlets for a while?
I ran into money issues, and then during the recession, I was lucky enough to have a job that the government paid me to watch my handicapped uncle. So that paid for my place, and I would sell things on eBay. So I was making good money during the recession, and everything... it was a deflationary period, so all the food and everything was cheaper. So I was able to save up and buy a house, and then I sold the – and money was tight during the house, but I was paying that off. And then I sold the house, and the house went up in value for several reasons. I got a good deal when I got it. The market went up, and I added improvements to it that didn't cost very much. And so I had money to make a movie, and I did. I've been waiting to make another project and been just writing screenplays. I've written about 3 in that time, and I'm writing a 4th and 5th right now to that are like one location things to do that. So hopefully I'll get either a grant here soon. I'm up for one, or my friend and I are going to do a little one location movie here. In the next few months.
Tell me a little bit about what you learned from that experience of being a caregiver, because I imagine that would really have to involve a lot of patience.
Yeah.
And a lot of selflessness. Like, where does that come from?
Well, I think I've always been pretty empathetic I think I'm an empath, which I just learned recently, because I had, beyond just being having empathy, it's really not even like, oh, you're a great person. It's like you're more, I can put myself in other people's places real well. So even in movies, when I'm watching movies, I like feel the emotions of other people. So I've had to learn that in relationships very recently, of not putting myself, and I still haven't really learned that, of the place of other people. But it even goes beyond that, of like, I didn't know like had to do with your clothes being itchy and sounds and stuff being more sensitive to that. But I read about it, and then so I was like, oh, now it makes sense. So I figured that out about myself recently.
And is that something that, like, how did that, how was that detrimental to you to not know in the first place? Did that cause trouble for you in any other areas of your life?
Well, like, breaking someone's heart is like breaking my heart. So it's like, yeah, I put on the emotions right. of other people. So I have to be very careful of just doing that.
Well, you're artistic, and yeah, so yeah. And I imagine also that helps you fall
writing,
in love
and
pretty
helps
easily.
With writing, for sure, of being able to put yourself in the place of all these characters you're writing. So yeah, that's for sure a benefit.
If you're willing to be honest about it, too. I mean, writing can be pretty difficult, especially if you're really willing to put it out there, you know?
Do you like to write stories?
Yeah, I do. One of these days, I think I'm gonna publish something, but you know, not until I get a little more brave.
Do you want to just write a book or write for something you're gonna like film?
Well, I mean, I've kind of tackled a handful of short screenplays. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of things. I was in theater when I was a kid, and I just thought, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be an actor. And, but I was in weird stuff. I wasn't in anything good.
Yeah.
I fell into like an alternative comedy kind of theater group. And we would put on stage plays every summer. And, and one year I decided I wanted to tackle something really difficult. I wanted the lead in the show. And because I was so scared that I was going to mess it up, I memorized the entire script and just went to the audition, and I knew everybody's lines. I knew all the stage direction, and I had it all down. So I got the part, and that was great. And then that guy went out to California, and he was going to turn that play into a movie. Mm-hmm. And he said, how would you like to do that part again? I said, yes, please. So he flew me out to California, and I meet a bunch of real actors for the first time. I had never been in front of a camera. I'd only been on stage. And as you probably know, people who've been on stage but not in front of a camera, not necessarily the greatest.
I had
so,
this, I was about ready to do a movie during COVID. I had everyone on board that about half the crew and cast were still ready to do it. Like, it was when Kentucky Derby was still doing it and audiences, and NFL was doing audiences. And so, but it was still like September. So people were skittish about letting me use their places. And so it was just adding extra cost. And I said, no, but I had an actress ready that was a really good actress that play after play, won all these awards doing plays, and doesn't really have much of a background in movies. She's since done a movie since then, during COVID, which is surprising. But yeah, it can help. And sometimes the acting's bigger than what you expect. I did play. I went to, in college, I took two of the like theater classes, so two semesters of theater classes. But that's the only formal acting training I have before I tackle the movie, other than the improvised movie we did before the New Cops, which had zero budget. So one of the actors in New Cops has become the biggest name associated with any of our projects because he has a show on HBO, John Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's in there. New Cops is this very improvised movie where this guy daydreams about being president of the United States, and all he does is wear a American flag t-shirt. There's nothing really presidential about him. He watches this show called New Cops, and then he has this ordinary mundane life. And so it has like those three elements mixed into it. It has a lot of dreamlike stuff. And so we definitely use some of those elements of like watching things on TV and body swap and stuff like that. But body swap's a more linear story where what happens at the beginning, you know, it goes from beginning to end and not much jumping around.
You know, it's funny too, when someone that you work with on something small kind of breaks out and does something huge. I was in a small zombie movie and one of the guys from that movie broke out and he's in everything now. I see him everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's my nemesis and he doesn't know it. we were friends. It was the actor Paul Walter Hauser. He was in, so I mean he's done a bunch of stuff. He had the lead in that Eastwood movie and then his career just, you know, took off. He's in everything. I can't turn on the TV and not see him in something.
That's like, pretty cool.
Curse you, Paul.
But I like seeing people from the projects do well. But with Body Swap, two of the actresses, one admitted she retired and the other is working for Facebook, the lead actresses or something. So they kind of went and did their own thing. I mean, but it's COVID going on. I think they might go back into acting when it's convenient. Katie Giralt
is – they were really good. Especially the lead. She was phenomenal.
I like to hear that. Katie Giralt and Gunnar Willis have been doing projects, though. I've seen them in a few things. There hasn't been that many projects, though. So that's
why. Yeah.
I mean, since it came out, it came out in February of this year on iTunes and all that. And it was kind of like a staggered. I didn't know what I was doing with the release. So I submitted to like all these film festivals when you're supposed to submit to like three or four huge ones, say it's a world premiere. And then when it gets into those, it goes into more. So I went to the smallest ones to start off and worked my way up like anything in life, which is makes more sense. You usually don't start off with the musicians and comics, stand-up comics don't start with the biggest club and work their way down. That makes no sense. And the film festival circuit, you're supposed to premiere at the most biggest one, go to these regional ones, and then go down. We were going to regional ones. Like, we went to a 56th Houston, got canceled, but they told us the awards. That was the first one offering a hotel to us. And so they told us the awards at least, and that got canceled. And then Woods Hole 29th went to online. It was one of the first onlines. And so a lot of the stuff that got canceled from South by Southwest in 2020 and San Francisco and wherever else there was a film festival got put on Woods Hole. So our two biggest were our two last and then hit it out. But I was quite happy to go from a small to a small regionals winning awards and then the large regionals to the opposite way down. But it cost more money to submit.
Well, and also all that travel. I mean,
travel.
It's a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot of discount airlines now, though. That's good news. If I had known what I know now, though, the huge ones actually offer you the travel and the hotel and stuff. So I should have submitted those. But I would advise if you do an independent film to submit to like a one that's a big festival that you might not really consider, like San Sebastian or something that would want a world premiere other than like Sundance or something. I think that's maybe the next step. I might skip the whole film festival thing entirely because it just seems like people just buy it and that's it. They know to look and I think I would I'd release the trailer like right when I'm releasing the movie, practically, instead of people going, "Where's the movie?" or whatever.
Right.
So
it's a whole another world out there now for distribution and things like that. I mean, it's definitely kind of a curse and a blessing in the same breath.
Well, I mean, I'm lucky. Like, it did better on Vimeo than it did on iTunes or whatever, Amazon, because by then everyone bought it that wanted to see it. So, and Vimeo gives me like 90-80% of the money instead of like 50% with Amazon. So right. I was lucky there. It didn't make back the budget, but I know now what budget it can make back, a movie can make back. So it's just about cutting the budget down a little bit. I mean, I'm not broke, so I'm not worried about it. So I was happy with the results.
But there are worse things that you could do with your life than to make some art. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, what else are you going to spend your money on?
Yeah. I mean, food. it's interesting to think about it that way. The one part about art, though, is most art I've watched is either like every movie, either the concept is question your reality and fight authority, and no one questions their reality and no one fights authority. So I do wonder if anyone actually pays attention to the movies they watch.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Time to Kill for people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's certainly been a lot of Time to Kill over the last year. It's been a really weird year. Mm-hmm. How was it for you as far as, because you get this movie done. Mm-hmm. You were lucky enough to get it out a few places before the pandemic hit pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. See it but in front of audiences. Yes, that's good.
Yeah. But it wasn't very long before everything starts shutting down places, travel mm-hmm. starts getting difficult. Yeah, like, yeah. So how does that play into your state? I mean, what are you feeling as far as, because it had to be scary at that time. Like, is this thing going to find its legs or?
Oh, I had to shift to releasing it. And it is interesting with so few films out, you'd think it do moderately well. But I think also people aren't watching movies as much. So on Amazon, it looks like when you go to the like independent section, there'll be a few movies down and you'll see it. So they're ordered in how much they're watched, but I don't think a lot of people are watching the independent films right now. So I think they just
got strange. Mm-hmm. You know, you would think people would be get through all of the Fast and Furious saga and reach the end of the internet and need something new.
On independent films on Amazon, I'm like underneath Napoleon Dynamite, Juno, and that. So only a few movies have been released in like 20 years of independence, but features, most of them are shorts in the independent world. But when you go to comedy, it's also in the comedy, but I've never seen it in comedy. Like, I have to keep scrolling forever and ever and ever and ever. So maybe comedy is where people are watching a lot of this stuff. So check it out on there. You have to just look for it. But it's congruence or the between art house cinema and comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it also had kind of a throwbacky sort of feel to it. You know what I mean?
And like, on Apple, you can watch like four. You look at Apple trailers, it's got four different style of trailers of 70s, 80s done in those eras. The trailers are done in different ways. So we mimic those styles.
Oh, cool.
So it's definitely worth checking out those trailers at least, and then you can see the movie if you want after that. Trailers would only take you about 4 minutes to watch. So,
so tell me a little bit about your situation now. So, I mean, here you are now. You're in Florida. About to start whatever's happening in your life now.
I've been fixing up this place and I got it ready. Took about 2 or 3 months to fix up. And I put a lot of money on credit cards that are no interest for a year. So my Airbnb brings enough to pay those off in a year if I tighten the belt. But after that year, I won't have those bills anymore. And then I'll I had to fix up the house. Didn't take much. I did all the painting myself, but it just still. I mean, I renovated a kitchen and a bathroom, and it cost less than $10,000. But that's still a lot of money. But like some people pay $10,000 just to renovate a bathroom. So, well, furnish it, renovate the kitchen and bathroom, and I helped work on it. And I had one other guy that I would hire by the day help me renovate that kitchen. So I'm like in an in-law suite. It's like a duplex, and I'm in it right now. And I have people staying in the other part of it. So welcome to the art house independent life of gigging. But I don't have to.
What's your process for managing frustration? Because you know, making a movie of any size is
it's definitely frustrating.
Cats.
Like as we go back to the everything getting cut short, is like I've had this one movie get canceled 3 different times. And so I went to the drawing board, and I'm now on new screenplays. It's definitely just, you know, getting out and walking and, like, meditating, because it's like, what's the point if everything starts and stops all the time? And so I feel like in a better spot where I kind of see – I've learned the process a little bit better.
You just seem so incredibly calm, and I don't know why that in me that makes me think there's something under the surface with this guy.
I guess I'm a calm person. It's not like my life's very difficult. In some ways, I wish for more, but then it's like. Yeah. What's the point? It's that parable of the guy where he's like, if you catch more fish, you get a bigger boat and you can do this and you can do that. And it's like, and then you can fish and then you can fish more or whatever. It's like, I fished just the amount I want. I don't need any. I don't need to do all that.
That's actually pretty profound. I mean, the idea of knowing, you know, this is enough for me. This is good for me. But where do you get that from?
Well, you just see like... how much hassle being an artist would be at the bigger level that I would not. It would be cool to do a bigger picture, and I've been auditioning for projects lately. But it's, you know, a lot of the projects, even when they pay like $500, it's like, do I want to travel out there and pay for my own hotel and break even to do this particular project? And it's like, why waste all my time and energy on that? But I do audition for quite a few things. And that's just fun in and of itself to learn editing and shooting and lighting for just one person. Been contemplating doing TikTok that way. But that would be harder to make money, I think, than I don't know how they make money off TikTok and all those Instagrams and stuff. But. With movies, I can just sell it. I can just sell the movie itself. So that's what happened. And that's what I've been planning on doing is another movie.
But that calm that you have and that, you know, that ability to pivot quickly, you know,
I gain that after fixing up a house and making a movie is I can do anything if I set my mind to it. So I lost a bunch of weight after too. Just, I was like, because of that, if I set my mind to it, I can do it. I dropped to like 193 and then went back. I'm at like 230, 234, but I think I gained a little bit of muscle. I'd like to drop some.
Well, you're a tall guy too.
Yeah. I'm 6'4", 6'5", if you can't tell on here, but, and in the movie, you can't even tell either because I got a guy that's playing my brother 6'9", that's towering over me the whole time.
Right.
So that was a funny little joke I put in there when I saw that he was 6'9" and looked like me. I thought that would be funny. And he was the funniest guy I had apply for that position. So
yeah, I hired him right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his name's Gunnar Willis. He has a little bit part in The Resident where he turns blue because he drank too much colloidal silver. And they tell him the stakes aren't very high because they tell him he's going to be blue for life. And he's like, yes, that's awesome. Which is funny. It's funny they would cast him to play the guy that's happy to be blue the rest of his life. I kind of wonder if that does turn you blue or not. But I guess so. I never heard of that.
We can Google that. Mm-hmm. That's well, you know what? Maybe it's better. We don't know. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's good to have questions.
Maybe you just drink it and find out. No. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a tough time for people being under house arrest for a year for not committing a crime. Australia, it's even crazier over there. So at least it's not that bad here. And in Florida, they're pretty relaxed, so it's not been too bad.
That's good. I mean, it can go a lot of ways for a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, one of the things that sort of makes things interesting here is that, you know, we've got all of these states. But they're really kind of almost their own small little countries.
Yeah, yeah.
Just behaving independently and doing
really,
what they're
not even
do.
Small by land mass. They're as big as any other country.
Yeah.
We just call them states. But it's an interesting experiment, and one that's interesting because Australia, going back to that, they like there is these people coming to kill, coming to adopt some puppies. You can find this article, and they killed the puppies because they're like, you're going to spread the puppy. You can't move because of the COVID. And like, that's just insane. I don't know what the logic of that was, but they're extreme over there right now.
You know, people sometimes do some weird shit when they don't know what to do next.
Australia's got a lot of ideas about animals. They had those toads forever. And so they go, Johnny Depp brought a dog over there one time, and they act like there was going to be a million dogs hopping around their country if they got one chihuahua there. So I don't know. Y'all can go look up the story. You're thinking I'm crazy that story is not out there, that there were people coming to go adopt some dogs, and they said, you ain't adopting these dogs. You ain't leaving your house. And they killed the dog at the shelter. It's nuts.
Do you think that creating things and, you know, being able to make stuff as a creative mm-hmm. person has been a positive thing for your mental health?
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone has a bit of creativity. It's whether they embrace it or not and how much of it they have. Some people aren't as creative in that they are constantly churning out ideas, but I know everyone has an outlet for something, whether it's making jewelry or, you know, whatever. Just happen to, that's a different hobbies out there that people like to express themselves. And, it's kind of part of the gig economy as people come up with these things that they can sell and do online and apps and videos that they can sell. So it's interesting.
Well, the movie was a lot of fun, and I'm glad I got to see it.
No, thank you.
And I encourage everybody else to go out and see it.
Yep. Bodyswapmovie.com, Amazon, iTunes, Bodyswap. So it's just check out the trailers. I mean, that's all I care about. I don't need you to watch the whole some people don't have the attention span to watch them, but people that have watched it, it's 70 minutes, so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
at least good for that. It's
nice
short
and tight
thing. Yeah, It's not a TV show where if you watch 60 minutes, you don't watch another six or seven episodes. And it's not a whole 2 hour, 3 hour movie. So it's a self-contained story in 70 minutes. It's not a short. So there is some character development.
Well, thanks for talking to me today, Jimmy.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris. I'm glad you welcomed me on your show. It's great to be on here. Thank you so much.
And there we have it. Jimmy Custis, a really thoughtful guy. I'm really glad that he decided to come on the show and promote his movie, Body Swap, which you can find at bodyswapmovie.com or Amazon or iTunes or all of the places where all of that stuff is found. If you want to find more of my stuff, speaking of where things are found, I put out an EP of music called the Robin EP under the band name of Beast 4 that is out now. It was mixed and mastered by the great Andy Reid, which you may know from various other projects, including the mid-2000s Birthpipe stuff. But that's all I got this week. Don't kill yourselves out there.